start the roll call. Actually,
Okay.
Before that, I suppose I should call the meeting to order. It is 6:36. This is the November 13th, 2024 monthly meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. Dennis Williams in the big chair one more time. And we will now begin calling the roll. Madam Secretary.
Irene?
Present.
Vanessa?
I wasn't expecting that so fast. I'm here. Just came faster
than I thought. Okay. Verna? I'll come back. Wayne?
Here.
Michael? I'll come back. Bill Curtis? I don't see him. Bill Curtis? Violetta?
Here.
Wanda said that she'll be here. She's just running a little bit late.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin? Robert? Robert? Robert Gordon?
Don't see him.
Donna Grimes? Kamau?
I'm here.
I saw him. Okay. Arthur Hyman?
I'm here.
Andrew did send an email saying he wouldn't be able to make it
right
this evening. Ambrose Lane?
Don't see him.
Okay, and he has two excused absences, so I don't know.
This is the second.
This would be his third.
Okay.
If he's not here.
Okay.
Patrick?
Patrick said that he would not be here. I just got a text from him a little while ago.
Okay. Tony Leon?
Here.
He's here. Mariah?
Here.
Ron Pinchback? I saw him.
Yeah.
Ron?
Yeah, he's here.
Minerva? I saw her also.
Present.
Yeah, she's there.
This is Pinchback. Adele? I'm here.
Okay, Adele?
Here.
Michael Hurst? Did you hear anything from him?
No, I did not.
I didn't either. Dennis is here. Yeah. Okay, let me go back and see if anybody came in. Verna? Do you see Verna?
Nope.
Did she come in?
Nope.
Okay. Michael?
Nope.
I don't see him. Bill Curtis? No.
No.
Sue Goodwin?
Alan Bill's coming. He's coming in.
Okay. Sue Goodwin? Robert Gordon. Donna Grimes. Michael Hurst. Okay.
Okay. I'll let you know if any of those folks show up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And, also I want to welcome, know several of the incoming board members, who will be seated on, next meeting in December, are here. Thank you for coming out. You get to see how things run. Don't be scared away. We don't bite. We just growl. Okay. First order of business, approval of the agenda for tonight. Any objections? Okay. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And, how about what was last month? October, minutes for the October meeting. Any objections to approving those minutes? Okay. Madam Secretary, the October minutes are approved. Do we have any management folk here? I didn't see anybody come in yet. You know, people were planning to attend. Oh, there you are. Hi. You snuck in.
I've been here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hi.
Sataria and Katia aren't available today, but okay. I have both the reports. I don't know if I should read them. Or whether that they were sent to you, or
yeah, we got them. So just you can do the
hit the highlights.
Do the highlights, yeah, for the listening public.
Okay, from leftover from the finance committee meeting, there was some questions about the 5K run. The equals after totaling everything up, the total came to 3465, not including expenses or money received for the purpose of paying for those expenses. There is still a meeting to be had with Martha to verify all the monies that are accounted for. So even though I thought it would be complete by today, I didn't realize that Satari was going to be on vacation. So there's a couple of adjustments that have to be made. Still a really respectable amount that was brought in, and it won't change a whole lot more from that, but it's at 3465. The reggae show from October 5th came out to $3,350 after expenses. The fall pledge drive, we raised about $235,000 for that. And we have a couple of events coming on right away trying to make up for the shortages. Next week, there'll be a very special event at Blues Alley. Blues Alley is giving us their full door. They'll charge for the minimum, the drinks and et cetera. And all the musicians are performing for free. The Blues Alley seats 150 people per set. There's two sets. So at the top, if we sell all the tickets, we could raise up to 1,500. I'd be really grateful if we get 10,000. So that's what we're hoping for. Hopefully you've heard of the promo, and hopefully you are planning to get a ticket, or tell people who enjoy guitar music to come and be there. Because it costs so much, and because we want to sell every seat, we haven't opened it up to programmers yet, but at some point I'm sure we will, just to try to get more people interested. And then on December, let me get my date for you. On December the 15th, Sunday, from 3 until 7, we plan to have an event, a closeout event at the station. We're still in the process of getting the last minute issues together. Sorry, I'm stumbling. But it's going to be open house for the community. It'll be a dance party, holiday party. DJ Abby, DJ Funk. I'm sorry, DJ Abby and DJ Lance will be performing for sure. Maybe DJ Funk will open the station up, maybe charge a nominal fee of $25, $30. We haven't quite figured that out yet. And people can come, dance, interact, drink a little wine and eggnog, and have holiday spirits with each other. And it should be fun. It should be the programmers and the LSB and the listeners, and we all come together, and hopefully some people bring some checks. We will also have the end of year giving event, and that one does pretty well. We hope to raise a significant amount of funds again to make up for some of the shortages in the last one. And in Katia's report, so that's basically everything that's going on with development. I'll go to Katia's report and the highlights. What I was going to transition into, we have a new social media initiative, and what we plan to do with that, we're working with someone who's done very well with social media. We're very 1966 and this 21st century in terms of utilizing and leveraging social media to our advantage. We just haven't jumped on that train yet. And this man is very, very adept at doing so. We are paying a portion of whatever it is that he raises. And his goal, since we just started doing this, he's done an incredible job of setting things up, giving us a plan, trying to identify our needs and try to figure out how we can maximize his potential. He's done work for the Friends of the Congo, the people who we had the last event with back at the Westminster. And I really like him. He's young. He's vital. I met with some of the young people, including here on this call right now, Mariah. I'm having an echo. Is that me? Okay, including Mariah and Jordan and Paul Bailey, and hopefully Frederick will come back, but they come and they meet with us regularly. And one of the first things they said to us was that we have to get stronger on social media, Instagram and Facebook and X. And I'm totally... that's a totally foreign world for me. So this is really interesting learning on that. But Katia found a way. I found this young man, and he's trying to work together with us to do this. So we're very, very hopeful that we can expand our listenership as well as raise funds with this endeavor. Katia has hired 3 new subs. We're increasing the bench of people for backup. And there's some new programs that are on that are sounding really interesting. John Jeter is returning along with Denise Young. You can hear the first show tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. And today, you hopefully heard Anthony Browder do the Browder file. Having Anthony Browder, having both these gentlemen on actually really raises the profile of WPFW. The, you know, Tony Browder is worldwide known, and John Jeter is an award-winning journalist. So that should hopefully raise the profile of WPFW. And again, the final drive, end of year giving drive will be from the 15th to the 21st. During the course of that, because Tia's got a couple very special programs planned for us, and one will be celebrating Amiri Baraka, who would have been 90 this year, who had a real close association with the station. The other is from the Pen of Q, celebrating Quincy Jones. Individually, we've done it throughout the course since his death, but it'd just be a great opportunity for us collectively to have a fundraising day. We're still trying to figure out how to make Monday through Friday stronger in terms of fundraising. So just during that week, in order to maximize again the potential money that we raised during the end of year giving, we're going to try to plant those 3 different shows through the course of the week. Oh, Bill Lacey's the other one, the labor unions who passed away, whose funeral was a couple weeks ago. So those are 3 different demographics that we hope will work during the course of the week to raise money and make it a very successful end of year drive. So that's the basis of most of her report. I'm not going to go that much into finance because the chair is going to do that. The relocation committee, as well as the finance committee. I'll chip in if anyone has any questions. But does anyone have questions about either the development report or the program director's report? I'll answer them to my best ability.
Excuse me, Miyuki. This is Minerva. I have a question. What do you said something about there were new subs that were recruited. What's a sub, or what is that about?
Substitutes. Sometimes people, for example, I was unable to do my show for a long period of time. Jordan was learning. I was teaching him how to do it. He ended up being my sub for 6 months. Sometimes someone calls in sick. Someone has a personal emergency for whatever reason. They're on vacation. We need people to be able to be substitutes for the shows.
Okay. And just another one, and then I'll be quiet. A lot of these, and I know this isn't your area, but a lot of these things that, you know, the committee wants to know, but I'm going to ask you since the individual isn't here. When we say we have 100 and something programmers, and I'm still trying to figure out where do these people fit in? Where are they? You know, and when I say that, because I can look at the grid and I see some of the same names, and they're covering here and they're covering there. How is it, has any thought been put in place on how to make this such that maybe they have a buddy system. If I'm not going to be able to be on and someone's my buddy, that they could cover for me and things of that sort. That, you know, I'm just trying to get a handle on how is programming actually put into play. How are these people identified? And I even asked, is there a site that people can go to that may want to try to get on the air to put in information to say, hey, I have a show that might be of interest to WPFW. And, you know, I know right now it would probably come to one person, but is there any thought about expanding that so we start looking at the community having some insight or some say on what things they're hearing on the radio? Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. And I think those are some really good ideas. Some people do employ that. I don't know if you noticed Shea Butter, Arthur McLeod, James Funk. They sort of cover and do for each other. Cowboy Fred, Murr, they cover and do each other, and they also do other blues shows. There's some of that's already system in terms of buddy and taking care and helping each other. So thank you for that. People are doing that. But part of the reason I encourage Katia to try to recruit more and make it to have just a deeper bench, we are just as a whole, our programmers are much older than we used to be. When I first started, well, that doesn't matter. It was a long time ago, 40 years ago. And I could do, you know, I think I did a 6 to 9 a.m. show, and then I could back to a 4 to 6 p.m. show. We could do a lot more. But just physically, I can't do that as like I used to. I used to be able to do Robin show and then get up and do Millie show. I can't do that anymore. I just physically can't. So we need more people who are available to do that. Now, in terms of the system, right now it's more like word of mouth. Craig Hall did a really nice job of bringing in different people. I have trained various people to bring them on, and we're doing a lot to do that. This makes a nice segue into what it is that I wanted to talk about with everybody. Some of it is just, you know, the buddy system in general in terms of people talking to each other and bringing folks in. There's not a systematic way of doing it. And I hear what you say in terms of, you know, setting something up in a uniform way that anyone from the community could jump in. But please, I'll get to that part later on in terms of that. But yeah, so it's the systems are being put in place. We're trying to do the best that we can. People, our staff is 10 people, and it's, you know, down from 20 people from when I first started. People have to do multiple jobs, are doing a lot, and sometimes, you know, every T doesn't get crossed, every I doesn't get dotted. We're working toward that. We're trying very hard to get to that, but we're not there yet. So we're trying to get there. I don't know if I answered your question to your satisfaction.
I want to go to Tony now.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Thank you, Minerva.
You're welcome. And yes, you did. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Hi, Miyuki. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
I just wanted to get your opinion on the programs that the station is doing now. And if there's a way that the programs could dialogue more with the community during the shows, like open the phone lines up and take calls and, you know, and just dialogue with them versus what has been told to me by some people in the public and what I've, you know, noticed myself and I guess others who regularly listen to. It's a lot of monologue that happens. You know, it's a symmetrical instead of an asymmetric type of relationship with the community in a lot of these shows, with the exception of Pinchback and Dave Rabin used to take calls. I don't know if he still does. Haven't heard him lately. But you know, it's only like a handful, And I know people like to call in, and you know, for several reasons, they have something to say. They like other people, you know, to hear their name on the air. you know, and such. And I think they find value in being able to communicate with the programmer. So what do you think about that perspective?
I think Dr. Malvo takes calls. Dr. Watkins takes calls on Tuesday. That Dave Raven does. As you said, Roach takes calls on Wednesdays. Verna sometimes takes calls, as well as Dr. Williams. As well, David Whetstone, not as much as he used to, but he's talking about doing some more. I know on Tuesday also Daniel De Pellego and Tuesday. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name right now. She takes calls on Thursdays. The What Labor Show takes calls. And on Friday, Garland, Jacqueline, Renee Bowser takes calls. And also Eugenia takes calls. So a lot of people do take calls. So I think we are doing a fair amount. And as you said, also, you know, Ron and Chip take calls. So a fair amount of people do that conversation. Is it possible to have that phone number muted that keeps talking? It's down on my screen. It's right. It keeps coming up green. So I don't know what it is, but it keeps, you hear that noise, right?
Yeah, I do.
It's easy to throw me. 410.
Can everyone please mute?
Oh, I thought you could do it. I'm sorry.
Well, I can if I can't find it.
Okay. I think they did it. Yeah. Okay. So Tony, so those people, oh no, they haven't. Those people do. So could we have more? Probably. But I hear, you know, I'm trying to think, I hear a lot of people opening the phones. And, you know, like I said, Garland does it every Friday, and then Jacqueline does it. And
we
then
have over 100 programmers, and you just, excuse me, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you got over 100 programmers, and you just ran off maybe 10 names at the most. So
we have 137 programmers, all right? But we don't have that many shows, you know, through the course of the day, you know, we don't, I mean, even if I said 10, that we at least two or three hours a day from what I just ran off are open phones.
So you think that's enough?
You think it's not?
I think opening the phones would increase, interest, and increased interest would lead to, increase of donations possibly and membership. So
it's just a
suggestion. I'm just curious about what, you know, your perspective is on that.
No, okay. I appreciate it. And phones are very important. Ambrose opens his phones. I'm just thinking, I mean, so there's more, I'm thinking about more and more people that use a phone. So I'm not sure how much more the community is looking for. There is also, you know, it's not a monologue, because a lot of the other people who don't have phones have guests who give really great information. And so I'd have to think about that more, Tony. I think it's pretty well balanced now. Could there be more? Sure. But right now, I think it's okay. I'll pay attention to it more.
Okay. Were you going to, I don't see any more hands right now. Were you going to do more of your report, Mia King?
Yes. Well, what I wanted to do too also, someone said about, Minerva said the thing about over 100. There's 137 programmers, and now that we have these subs, maybe there's more, Minerva. I didn't answer that part. Some shows are collectives, the Sophie's Parlors Collective, the In-N-Out Collective. So there's, and I'm sorry, I can't make that quiet. I'm disconnected. So there's multiple people on those shows. And then like Funk and Fly, they share one show. So there's lots of these programmers, but some of the shows have a lot of people who support and run them.
Okay. Actually, before you, get into another point, I see, Michael Byfield's hand is up. So, okay. Michael.
Everyone, and Miyuki, I think you did a stellar job, during the fundraiser. I heard you all different time of the day and night, and I don't envy that level of work ethic, but, you ought to be recognized for that. for sure. I wanted to go back on in terms of taking phone calls, because before, when I first joined the station, actually, we used to have community comments 5 days a week, and it was the understanding then that an engaged audience resulted in what Tony talked about, more participation, increased membership, and what have you. And I do recognize some of the shows that are, Garland Nixon is a talk show. That's, we understand. But the community comments section, which is now, you know, we're on Wednesdays, I know David Whetstone does not take calls. Dave Rabin, sometimes he does. Monday is no longer community comment. That's another show. And I know on Friday, it's the only community comment where the host seems to be more interested in talking than allowing calls to come in. But, you know, it is what it is. One of my complaints when it comes to, you know, that I really think we need to pay attention to is on, might be Wednesday, I think it's Ife Williams. And I don't know if that's pre-recorded or not. She never takes any calls. And I've on many occasions wanted to call. And one of the reasons why, during the pandemic, she had on more than three occasions medical people that were representing the establishment after the fact that were really quoting incorrect information that had been disproven by the establishment, yet they were on the air telling us erroneous information that has been disproven, but we have no way of calling. And I know I sent an email. I never got a response. This is probably overwhelmed and just programming goes from 1 week to the other. So that's one point. And that's the only point I wanted to make about calling in, about programs, especially the public affairs, making at least some exception, some room, so that they can communicate with the audience from time to time. That's my point.
Okay. I appreciate it. We'll take all of it under consideration.
Okay. You have more report for us, Mew King?
I just noticed in the chat there was a question. They want the finance report. Again, I know that the finance committee is going to give it, but I can say, share with you. I mean, it bleeds. I was just trying to be efficient. But our drive, again, we did about $235,000. We have about $180,000 in the bank right now. That includes our relocation money. Salaries, wages, and benefits for the month of October was $22,665. Office rent, $1,684. Tower rent, $6,233. Telephone, $12,156. Electricity, $3,796. We paid the rest of the, we paid BMI fees of $2,000 and other expenses of $5,000. 967 for a total of 69,701. So that is, just what I wanted to share so that, the person who is very concerned about, who's that, Joan. So I want to make sure you got that, Joan. So, if you have any questions about those numbers, I'd be happy to respond, but I think you get more details from the finance committee report. What I wanted to say, and again, you know, it's a very, and you know, at the last meeting, I expressed my heartfelt gratitude for the kindness and support extended to me over these past 7 months. And I acknowledge your steadfast dedication to WPFW, a commitment driven by your genuine love for this station. But I just really want to let you all know that the, you know, recently LSB members chose to withhold their commitment to do, responsibilities due to feelings of disrespect. And I took immediate actions to address their concerns and rectify the situation within 24 hours. However, you know, it fell short of their expectations. They felt unseen and disrespected, and in turn responded by stepping back from their commitment to WPFW Air. This reaction illustrates a broader issue we must confront together, the potential for a cycle of disrespect that, if left unchecked, can escalate and undermine our collective efforts. I bring this forward today to stress that respect must be mutual. It must be given as well as received. We all desire full participation from our staff, but this expectation can only be realized through respectful interactions. Without mutual respect, we risk creating an environment of conflict that diverts away energy from our mission of strengthening WPFW to better serve our community and beyond. I am committed to encouraging my team to engage openly and meaningfully with the LSB. In return, I respectfully ask that the LSP also uphold civil, polite, and constructive exchanges. You know, just as some of the members of this body chose to step back when they felt disrespected, my team, they're human beings too. And, you know, they may react in kind. You know, let us strive to break the cycle and instead foster a culture of genuine respect and collaboration. We're getting ready to navigate some really challenging times. As a community, as a nation, as a world, we must stand united. Internal discord will only weaken us, while cohesion will empower us to face external forces that may be seeking to destabilize WPFW and Pacifica. We've got to work together, side by side, with mutual respect and shared vision. I urge each of us to renew our commitment to our mission, building a strong, viable radio station that serves and uplifts our community. Let us treat each other with professionalism and thoughtfulness. Together we can move forward with integrity and achieve our collective efforts and our goals for WPFW. You know, together we can build a better world one broadcast at a time. I just wanted to share those thoughts and words. There's been some emails from some members that were not as kind as they could have been. There's been comments made to different people. I will encourage the staff to, you know, engage and interact with everyone. I just ask that you all do the same, you know, treat others as you want to be treated. And I'm not indicting anyone or anything. I'm just saying I was trying to use that example as you know, someone felt certain ways and how people respond. It was an unexpected thing. I hope that was clear and short.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments before we can get into the finance committee? Okay. Miyuki, are we still, are you still looking for the executive session?
I just wanted to break down some things about the relocation just, okay. And then just, it's been seven yeah. months since I started and the first one I did, you know, was back in April. So I just want to give okay. everybody, it won't be long.
It's on the agenda. Okay. Just checking. Okay. Mr. Treasurer.
Alrighty. Okay. Good evening, everybody. couple of things. So I do appreciate listeners' concerns about the finances. Just as a note, the financial statements, the profit and loss statement, income statement, they're not prepared locally. Those statements are prepared by the national office. The national office just issued a preliminary Q3 financial statement that's still under review with the National Finance Committee. So I'm not at liberty to release that today, but when we have it, I will incorporate that and make it part of the standard reporting for the Finance Committee for all to look at. But at this point, we do not have current financial statements. as it relates to what Miyuki mentioned, the ending balance, cash balance, for the month of October, 10/31/24, was $151,000. $151,068 was the ending cash balance. The contributions received in October, this is the cash in that was received, on the bank statement, was $171,448. During the month of October. Some of the highlights, as Miyuki mentioned, we had a cash outlay in the month for salaries and wages of $22,665, office rent of $16,884. We had tower rent at $6,233. Telephone expenses in the month at $12,156. We paid our electricity for the tower, $3,796. The BMI fees were paid in the month at $2,000. And we had total other expenses in the month at $5,967. Total cash out, $69,701. I'll pause right there for any questions. Okay. All right. Part of what we're doing on the committee is reviewing the budget. So that was our meeting. Hopefully folks were in receipt. I know it was late, and I do appreciate Eileen working hard, you know, in between all the other things that most of us juggle to get that out. But on our meeting, in our meeting on Monday, we were able to review the fiscal 25 budget. And that budget will be presented here shortly. But I wanted to let you know that it was passed. The budget was passed in committee on Monday. And so you all here will be able to review that budget and make your own, have your own questions and make your own decisions about moving it forward. Also, what we're doing locally is, or with the National Finance Committee, is trying to get together and square what's called our central services fees. A lot of what keeps Pacifica going, obviously, is that national office that's kind of the hub and the storehouse for all the financial activity. And it is not functioning unless the stations contribute to that national office. So one of the things that the chair of the committee for the National Finance Committee is trying to do is really get us kind of situated in terms of what each station is going to be paying in and at what rate. And what it's based on. We're currently using 15% of the prior year income, but that activity hasn't been nailed down yet. So that's one of the projects that's currently being worked on, both locally and nationally. There is a audit coming up. There's an engagement letter that's been secured and will be audited for 2 years, both fiscal year 22 and 23. So we're looking forward to that. We believe, I think the executive director believes we'll be done with that probably within the April or May of 25. So that's an important endeavor, being able to lock that in. And then also what we've done here locally is we've employed QuickBooks. And one of the things that I've been working on is a full reconciliation of the financials going back to January 2023. And what that's going to allow us to do is really, I think, reset the deck in terms of where we are on the financials, how best to instruct whoever comes in, you know, next as a business manager or just working with the current staff as is, to really show them how best to code and move their financial transactions off to the national office. Not having that burden on the national office, but really having a local, strong, functioning finance department as best we can, obviously, and make sure that we're giving the national office what we know to be our financial activity. A lot of ownership, you know, we can kind of, you know, give away our responsibilities, kind of abdicate our responsibilities. We don't really want to do that. We want to take ownership in what we're doing and really tell the national office what's happening at PFW and not being imposed upon. So that's one of the activities that we're also working on locally. Lastly, we do have some outstanding payables right now. So back to our central services fee. We do currently have some central services within the last year that we do owe the national office. Again, this is preliminary, just kind of still in discussion. It's to the tune of about $86,000. And then we also have an outstanding payable to our landlord at Bernstein to the tune of about $35,000. So I'll pause there for any questions. All right. Hearing none, I think, Dennis, are we going to do budget now or?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I don't know if,
Yeah, let me do the share your screen.
I'm going to share my screen, but I know Stephanie's going to walk us through it. She should be here, I think. Oh, there she is.
I'm here.
Hey, Stephanie. Yeah. Hi. All right. Great. So let me go ahead and share and then folks can.
Wait a minute.
It should be under more.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, sorry.
And then go to, actually, I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah,
wait, let me see if I can do it. Oh, I'm sending a request. How about that?
Okay. That worked.
All right. Perfect. All right. All right. So, what you see on the screen, hopefully everybody can see that. This is our, fiscal year 25 proposed budget, that we reviewed, like I said, on Monday at the Finance Committee. Myself, along with Stephanie Wells, our executive director, and of course, interim general manager, Miki Williams, worked on this, probably about a month ago now. And just through some, work scheduling, things like that, we're able to kind of bring it here tonight. So Stephanie really, also worked hard on this. So I'm going to allow her to kind of walk us through some of the, points on the financials, and then we'll take a stack, I guess, if we can. So Stephanie, floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. As with most of our budgets, or if not all of our budgets across the network, we try to be very conservative as we propose what we're looking at for the upcoming fiscal year. And one of the things, too, that I want to remind everybody is that all of these budgets are works in progress. They are meant to be looked at on a regular basis and reviewed and to see where we are. Are we making our revenue goals? Are we making, are we staying in line with our expenditures? If we are anticipating that a fund drive doesn't go as planned, or maybe an unexpected bequest or a major gift comes in, we can make adjustments with that budget as we move forward. Historically, I'm sure there was at some point that this was happening, but I'm not that aware of it, is that budgets have been passed and approved, and then they're not looked at until the end of the fiscal year, and then it's like, oh, we didn't make goal, or oh, we didn't, you know, we had too high of the expenditures. And one of the things that we're working on in the National Finance Committee is that each of those meetings, as we move forward, we will take a look at each station's budget that was proposed and see how are we doing? How is each station doing? So I'm hoping that on a local level, those stations that have local finance committees or the LSB will be taking a look at the budgets on a regular basis. That way we can be more proactive as we look at the budget throughout the year, rather than reactive if we're not meeting goals or sort of acting surprised if things weren't the way they were anticipated. So again, this is a work in progress. It's better to say it's a living document that's meant to be reviewed and changed and adjusted as we go throughout the year. But in order to have somewhat of a guideline, again, we need to have a proposed budget. So we are somewhat conservative in what we put out. But we do have to anticipate some things, expect some things, and project some others. So with some of the notes and the comments, one thing we did last year is that we tried to break out a lot of the revenue, because some of the stations just clump everything into listener support. They clump everything into major donors when it shouldn't be major donors. We're still trying to figure out what a major donor is, because it's not $1,000 that's cumulative, and then say somebody's, you know, making $100 a month pledge payment, and then after 10 months they get moved into the major donor category, which then would mean you would have to subtract that $100,000 or that $1,000 from the listener support. So, you know, we're basically saying that a major donor is a one-time gift, not a pledge payment at a certain level or above. It may be greater than 1,000. That's something that the National Finance Committee has to look at, because on our 990s or our taxes, nonprofits are required to list any donor that is above $5,000 or more at a one-time gift per year. So the major donor line item may move up to 5,000, but that's something that the National Finance Committee needs to look at. So in the meantime, we have proposed for our listener support 1.1 million. You can see with fiscal year 24, when we created the number for fiscal year 24, we combined major donor revenue with listener support because we were still focusing on what is a major donor last year at this time. So hopefully we'll answer that question this year. So we have proposed a conservative 1,100,000 for listener support. We anticipate or proposing $25,000 for major donors. And a lot of that is really reaching out. I know that some LSB members and the interim general manager, as well as other staff members that are at WPFW, have done a really good job reaching out and staying in better contact with some of the donors and talking to donors about the specific needs for the station moving forward. So we're anticipating $25,000 in major donor support. If we see that that stewardship or cultivation isn't working, then we can adjust accordingly. We do not put any money in for bequests. I don't really understand line 4. It's called donations. That doesn't, where all of this is donations. So I think we're ultimately across the board, trying to put that line item as changing it to bequests. We do not budget bequests. Even if there is a bequest that gives a payout on a yearly basis, which some of the stations have those, we do not budget those because of course we cannot anticipate, someone passing away. And we are working to, get a better grasp of our donors so we can start a bequest campaign and just making sure that we ask people if we are in their wills. Car donations, again, being conservative with that at 12,000. Community events running across the board as to what was projected from last year at 30,000. The events that have been potentially scheduled for fiscal year 25, there's a reggae event, Friends of the Congo, an Amy Goodman post-election event, a peace ball, and the 5K. So we will make sure, as we move forward with any of the stations with community events, we want to get just a rough draft of what that budget will be so we can better anticipate the actual cost of the event and the the revenue. Not always do we take into consideration the cost of the event. We just look at the overall revenue, and we will have down there on the expense section how much those community events cost. And we also, on just a budget for each of these events, again, just a rough budget that we're looking for each of the events, is all the in-kind donations as well. So we can actually put a dollar value to those in-kind donations. And that could be, the space that's given to us for free, discount on printing. So then we can correctly recognize and acknowledge the individuals or organizations that provide those in-kind donations to us and give them a tax acknowledgement letter. Grant income, we have again a conservative 20,000 that we can pretty much adjust as we move forward throughout the year, anticipating that there may be more, but we think that there shouldn't be an issue getting at least 20,000 in grants. And a grant is truly just that, a grant, where there is an application, there's grant reporting, that could be either restricted grants or unrestricted. But we will, deal with those as they come through.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Excuse me. I just need to interrupt for just one quick. Mm-hmm. Just want to let, everyone here in the meeting, to remind everyone that our rules of conduct apply not only to, people speaking, but they also apply to the chat, and they apply to everyone in attendance, not just delegates. So I'm asking everyone, please, to be, civil and respectful in your comments, whether it's spoken or written, please. Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. Miscellaneous other income, nothing is in that line item, because there was nothing that was budgeted there for 22, 23, or 24. So most likely as we move forward in 2026, that line will be just removed whatsoever. But some, because we go back for a few years, we've kept that there. We have another line item with special campaign, which, with WPFW is any of the moving expenses. So that will be a hidden column, I believe, that actually is hidden in I, but it, there's nothing that is in there at this point, but it's just so we can keep track of the money that is coming in for the move and then also keep track of obviously the expenses that are going out. So that isn't really anything that is budgeted, which is why it's not in here, but it would be considered a special campaign. If they're, I know KPFK is doing work on the tower and they will be having most likely a special campaign for the tower. So that, you know, again, we just kind of use that line item if there's something that is not an annual expense, but something that is a special expense. Underwriting and sponsorship, media sponsors in 2023 were actually included in the major donor category, but we really want to be able to keep better track of any sort of underwriting and sponsorship. So that's why that's in this line. And we're guesstimating approximately 20,000. Sustainers haven't really been tracked before adequately. And so where that income would have been normally put up in listener support, we really want to be able to keep track of those sustainers, because often as you're cultivating donors throughout the year, your sustainers are great because, you know, it's like those monthly dues at a health club. Those, you know, so many health clubs want those monthly dues coming in, anticipating that people might not actually show up. But it's, you can kind of guarantee what money and budget out what money is coming in. So with our sustainers, we want to be able to keep track of those individual sustainers, because it becomes a habit, which is wonderful, then, you know, very appreciative of the money that they're giving, but it's also a great group to reach out to and say, you know, you're giving $10 a month or $15 a month. Do you think that this one month you can give an extra 25? Or really keep track of them also in thanking them, because you can look back at a sustainer donor and say, wow, over the last 10 years, you've actually given us $25,000, and greatly, you know, recognize the continued support that they have. And it's a great group because they're so committed to supporting the station every month to reach out to as a focus group almost. What do you like about the station? What can we do better? So it's a really nice, all of our sustainers are a really nice, strong group that we want to better cultivate and better steward. And by getting a better donor tracking software system, we're really focusing on embracing those sustainers and thanking them more than we actually are. So our total revenue that's proposed for fiscal year 25 is $1,387,000, which is less than what was projected for 2023, very similar to what were the actuals for, I mean, what was projected for 2024, and then what our actuals were for fiscal year 2023. So I think it's a very doable dollar amount, and it is extremely conservative. As we look into our expenses, the salaries and related expenses, the total for that is $680,800. And we have, a lot of this has kind of stayed the same. There doesn't anticipate to be any major changes in positions, but we know we want to be able to raise enough revenue to add those positions that are vitally necessary that have been eliminated over the years at WPFW. But right now we're just keeping it on a very conservative level. So overall salaries, pretty self-explanatory, 485,000, which is 8 full-time and 2 part-time, which is what we had during fiscal year 25. Taxes figured out, and we go from there. The board expenses, that's for the local board and the LSB elections. There's no election to my knowledge for next year. So that wouldn't even be an expense that would be there, but we have put it in at all of the budgets just to kind of remind a lot of the stations that, we do, the elections do cost money. And so that will be obviously in an expense that will be able to be removed once we realize that there will not be an election next year. So, so overall the board expenses, $5,000, most likely again will drop down to zero. Administrative expenses. In the past years too, we talked about this last year with the budget with all of the stations, a lot of our expenses were just clumped into administrative. And when we do our 990s, all nonprofits need to break down expenses into functional expenses, which is you have to figure out what percentage is administrative expenses, what percentage is programmatic expenses, and what expenses are fundraising. And you want to try to have more of your dollars that are donated go toward your programmatic expenses. Otherwise, when you look at your overall ratings of a nonprofit and you see that, you know, 90 cents of every dollar is going toward fundraising or 70 cents is going toward administration, that's not a good use of your dollars. So over the years, a lot of the expenses in Pacifica had just been clumped under administration, which didn't look good. And when we knew, once I looked at our budgets, we weren't spending that much on administration. We were spending dollars on programs and keeping the radio station on the air and a very little bit on fundraising. So we did break that out over fiscal year 23. So when you compare the difference from fiscal year 23 to fiscal year 24 and now proposed for fiscal year 25, that explains the very large drop, because we are taking a closer look at how we are spending our money and not clumping everything into administrative, but then actually creating the functional expenses the way we should. So our proposed functional expenses for basic consultants, vendors, and contractors is $1,500. And again, some of those contractors that were included in the past were board ops, any sort of programmers that were getting paid. And so a lot of that has been eliminated. And even as we did the budget last year, any sort of person that was involved in programs were put down, or any even engineering were put down in programmatic, not administrative. So our consultants, vendors, and contractors proposed for 26 is $1,500. Moving costs, again, that would be in that hidden column, hidden only because it's not part of the budget, but it's a special campaign. So that way we can just keep track of what those moving costs are. Our telephone costs, $14,000. It's, again, if you look at the comments, is that for prior fiscal years, all of the telephone expenses were categorized as administrative, but not all of the phones are administrative. So we did divide that up. So this is roughly the math on the side in the comments is $3,500 or $3,500 a month times 12 months, $42K. But then we've divided that up into the admin, the programmatic, and fundraising. Same thing with internet and cable, $7,000. Postage, $50. That does not include fundraising or premium mailings, again, because that's programmatic. That is not admin. Website, $2,500. Interest bank charges, $6,000. Professional legal, we have as zero. Let's keep it that way. The national office pays a lot of our legal fees anyway. General manager search. The Pacifica, the national office is covering those expenses, the majority of those expenses as well. Office supplies, $150. General repairs and maintenance, $1,500. The notes is that we have kept those costs down to a minimum because there will be a move, and so we shouldn't have a lot of general repairs and maintenance in this upcoming year. And some of those costs that will need to be done to refurbish where you're moving into will fall under the moving special campaign. Office rent, this is where we're kind of, you know, we'll change it accordingly, but based upon once a lease is signed with whomever the new property owners are for the move, is that the office rent right now is at $100,000. As we said, there's the new location to be determined, but this total includes the 3 months of rent at the current location at $54,000 and then roughly $45,000 for the new location. But again, this is why the importance of why this is a living document. And once we sign that lease agreement with the new property owner, we can then adjust those expenses accordingly. And then once you get a permanent location, if that's or permanent or whatever it is that you're moving into afterward, then we can adjust accordingly, and whether that's this year or next year. So again, a living document will make those changes. Utilities, $9,000. And again, the utilities may go down to, may stop abruptly with wherever you're moving. You don't have to pay the utilities. So I know at some of the other KPFK, which just went through a move, the utility bill went from air, you know, the air, the water, the gas down to nothing because it was included in the rent. So all of those numbers will change depending upon where you're moving. Nothing for travel, nothing for storage, and nothing for computer and maintenance. So the total for the, if we can scroll, yeah. So the total for our admin expenses, $141,700, which again, just out of curiosity, if you take a look at fiscal year 23, it was 505. And it's not that we've cut the expenses significantly. It's just that we're putting them in the correct categories. So it looks much better to people that want to give us money. And it's a more realistic look as to how we're spending money. So any questions on that? Okay, so our programming expenses, $207,500. Yes, it will be an increase from fiscal year 23, slight decrease from fiscal year projected 24, because again, we are adding some of those expenses that were absorbed by administration last time. So our consultants and our vendors and our contractors, $1,200. And as far as our programming, that would involve any sort of a chief engineer, board ops, anyone that is involved with helping put our programs on the air. With programming supplies, we have $2,500, and that's with Zoom, YouTube, Adobe, any of those things, again, that are needed to get those programs on the air. Tower rent, we have $72,000, which breaks down to approximately $6,000 a month. And then we have utilities for the tower, which is $84,000. Internet and cable, $18,000. Again, that hadn't shown up in the past because it was just absorbed as an administrative cost, and not all of the internet is used just for admin purposes. Maintenance, technical wire supplies is $20,000, which are basically repairs that are to your, from the generator to the transmitter, any sort of repairs that are done with that. The website, a lot of the website was moved, to programming supplies. So when you, so there's no cost that is in that line item because those were moved, the website's actually moved to the supply line item. Telephone, radio lines, transmitter, $3,000. And once again, we divided those expenses between admin, programming, and development. Nothing for the NFCB convention. Hopefully someday we'll be able to have the funds to be able to go back to that. And then miscellaneous music licensing fees, $6,800. And those are expenses that are to BMI. For our development expenses, we have no money for the contractors and for the vendors. So that's left as zero. Credit card discount fees is roughly 2.1% of the revenue at $31,000. And again, that can change slightly throughout the year, and we will adjust that as we look at this document throughout the year. Postage, that would involve anything with subscription, renewal forms, pledge reminders, that's at $500. Supplies, $7,500, and that can be printers, the Emma email marketing service annual fee that you all use. Printing, marketing, development, premiums, those are all zero. Community events, $3,000, and again, that's the line item, that's the expenses for the community events line item that was above with revenue, where we're anticipating about $30,000. So that could adjust accordingly. And this would be actually money that's spent, not, not any of the in-kind expenses, but we would show those in-kind on the budget for each event. We would have the in-kind as revenue, and then it would balance out as an in-kind for expense. Because again, we want to keep track and be able to thank those individuals that have provided in-kind services for us. We have premiums from vendors, and shipping from the premiums is down to zero because those are covered by the merchandising company that you all use for those premiums now. So that's been a significant drop. And then any sort of fund drive and telemarketing, which is through TeleRep, is $25,000. So when you add all of the expenses of the admin, the programming, and the development, we have total expenses without any sort of central service payments of $1,102,000. Central services is based upon 15% of the revenue from the year prior. So this will, you know, again, this is adjusting. There's still discussion in the National Finance Committee of changing that formula. But until that point, we have to figure out something. So we're doing 15%. And that would be $208,133. We are not charging anything for at any of the stations for central services for the archives, because we are working with the archives right now and digitizing everything with the partnership we have with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the Library of Congress, the WGBH Educational Foundation, and the Mellon Foundation. So although we still obviously have access to our archives, this is going to be a substantial project. Roughly 3 years to get all of our 80,000 tapes digitized for free. We're maintaining all the licensing from them, and then everything will be stored on a website. We're still licensing materials now, actually. So rather than having any of the stations provide central service payments for the archives, we are funding this entire project and the staff that's associated with it with various grants and donations. And we've already received close to 55,000-60,000 in outside grants just to help support this project. And again, the digitization of it is coming to us for free, because of the money that was given to the American Archive of Public Broadcasting by the Mellon Foundation. Anyway, so the proposed total revenue for fiscal year 25 is $1,387,000. The total expenses without central services, $1,102,000. So the net income without central services for fiscal year 25 would be $285,000. The total revenue for, again, the next block there is total revenue, $1,387,000. Total expenses with central services of $1,310,133 gives us a net income with payments of central services of $76,867. So it's a good bottom line either way. One thing I do want to stress to people, I know central services are extremely important, but the national office, and we've been told before that, oh, well, maybe the national office should just take central services from the stations before anything else. And I would never do that, because I would not take central services from a station that could use that money for something else. So in our priorities, and that's how it's been so far since I've been here and Markeisha has been as the business manager, is that payroll, health benefits, rent, tower rent, and then anything else that is needed to keep the station on the air takes priority. It's not central services. The national office needs central services. We need to pay legal bills. We need to pay insurance bills. We've seen a lot of things suffer this year because we don't have central services, but the national office also reaches out to get donations, to get sponsorships for national programming. So we do have other streams of income. It's not a lot. And again, that's why we've suffered with not being able to help some of the stations, you know, and why we've had to sell buildings and things like that. But let me close my door. My dogs are barking. But the, you know, we hope that we can get central services from the stations, but we're not going to enforce that if the stations need that money in order to survive and continue to get their programming on the air. So we hope we can get it moving forward. But again, we would never take that if that would mean the station would suffer in any way. Any questions?
Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah, any just sort of informational questions, and then we'll get into actually discussing this for a vote. But for now, any just questions about what you heard and saw?
I have a question, Dennis. Is this
go ahead, Irene.
Was this sent out prior to, because this is something that we really need to, you need to step back and look at with a little more time than a couple of hours before a meeting or at a meeting time.
Yeah. You're right. It was sent out just before the meeting. The committee, approved this, Monday evening, and it just went out today. And I apologize for that.
And I get it and I understand, but I kind of if there's something action we need to take on this, I would rather take a step back and have some time to look at it. Walking me through it is not sufficient. There's some things questions that I might have that I can't see just from this presentation. It's a great presentation. I'm not taking anything for it. It's just that from my perspective and numbers and stuff, I just would like to take a little time to look at this.
Okay. Thank you. Michael.
Yes. I don't have a question. I really have a comment. I like the presentation, and I thought there were some really good things in there, and I appreciate, Ms. Stephanie, explaining some of these to us. I think we're overly optimistic and lucky, for the last maybe 18 months. And again, I really want to commend the staff at WPFW for the yeoman's work that they've done. But I think we're being overly optimistic in terms of what we're looking at, and that, but that is for another day, which I have asked on many occasions that we as a board, LSB, meet separately, maybe in a retreat, to really look and discuss a way forward, because again, I think we need to make some serious evaluation of where we're going in terms of fundraising, in terms of where the station is, but in terms of the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Kamau, is there anything you'd like to say?
Echo what Stephanie mentioned in terms of being conservative. A lot of what the radio station does is reliant upon volunteer programming. You know, the programmers come in, they volunteer their time, they're putting forth that effort to be on broadcast and convince their listeners to give. And it's really hard to bump revenue up just on anticipation that the programmers will get more dollars in. You know, so we want to be conservative on that level. And then I think, you know, with Miyuki coming in and focusing in on getting a hold of the expenses and the money going out, we've had a real good, solid opportunity here to cut the expenses down to where now we're kind of coming in flat. I heard Member Byfield say that it's far reach. But to be honest, the consistency around the programmers, and then also the focus on cutting the expenses, I think leaves us in a decent place. Even though we're a couple months in, we can kind of do a pulse check already on where we are. But, you know, I think that at this point, it's a very, very good effort at, you know, determining where we're going to be at the end of fiscal 25. So that's my spiel.
Okay. Mariah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the great presentation, Kamau and Stephanie. Just a quick question. It's something that I usually ask, because when we go through our meetings and we usually go through our financial report, archives is always seems like a really substantial amount that we're paying for. So I don't remember, and excuse me if I missed it, if it was within this budget or if it was wrapped up into maybe something else like central services. And how much was allocated toward that?
I think you're talking. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry. There are no central, we have not budgeted any centrals. We have not budgeted any central service payments for the archives. It was between 5% and 7%. It had been, I think, historically 7%. And then the last year we budgeted 5%, but it wasn't getting paid anyway. So we ended up this upcoming year for all of the stations to not put any central service payments toward the archives because we are working on the archive legacy project. In partnership, as I said, with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the Library of Congress, WGBH Educational Foundation, and they're receiving funding from the Mellon Foundation to digitize our entire collection for free as we maintain the licensing rights and they're doing copyright searches on everything as well. And that that's going to be roughly about a 3-year project because we're sending out, everything in increments of 20,000 and the archives, honestly was in a complete and total mess. So we have been cleaning it up and reorganizing and getting a grasp of everything that we have physically and everything that, that exists digitally. And it's been quite a project, but we are working that completely on donations from individuals and foundations. So we're not asking any of the stations to support that right now.
So last year's proposed charge was 5% of revenues from each station?
Correct.
Okay. Does that answer that question, Ayan?
Yeah, that's great news. Thank you.
Miyuki?
Yes. Thank you, Dennis. I first want to thank you very much for taking time and being here, making the presentation. Thank you very much, Stephanie. And I want to also applaud the fact that you've done the work that you've done with the archives. The archives are really what defined Pacifica, the archives from, 1946 on, they're classic, they're a really piece of history and culture. And the fact that you've been able to preserve, get someone to preserve them, protect them, and make them available in 21st century terms is critical. And I really, really respect and appreciate that you've done that. And I think it's really, really huge. And I don't think you get enough recognition or credit to understand how vital it is to Pacifica and PFW's future that you've done that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Other questions, comments? Kamau, I presume you want to put this forward for a vote for approval?
Yeah, we're on a, we're already in fiscal 25, and I do apologize. Our committee has been working to get this over to the full board. And I do recognize the time needed to analyze and maybe come back with some more questions. I would ask if we do that we have an interim meeting and not wait until December's meeting in order to pass. But I would like the motion to be brought forward to accept the fiscal 25 budget as presented by the Finance Committee and for approval and moving it forward to the National Finance Committee for their review and approval. So okay. That's the motion that I'd like to present.
Okay, and it does not need a second. And since it is 7:54, what I'm going to do is hold the vote in abeyance until after community comment, at which point folks can think about if you are prepared if you are inclined to approve it, if you're inclined to go ahead and do that now, if you want more time, when that's going to be between now and the beginning of December. You've got some time to think about that, and I am going to now open the floor to community comment 6 minutes early. So is there anyone who would like to, from the community, who would like to speak?
I would. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I can hear you. Thank you. This is Star from Washington, and yep. I'd actually like to go a second time if there's going to be time at Star Bowie. I wanted to support what was said by Tony Leon and Michael Byfield on the relative absence of community comment. And I want to just point out that we want if we want to attract listeners and keep them, we have to show respect for them. And that's the only way they're going to respect our programming. And we want to draw a distinction in attracting them and keeping them between ourselves and corporate media, including NPR. And one of the ways that we do that is not by simply giving them quote-unquote information, because unless that information is openly examined in a public forum through people adding information or questioning what has been presented or just seeking clarification, unless there's that kind of scrutiny and it's made clear that all voices in the community are valued, we really lose a huge part of our draw. And we not only don't draw, but it's because we're not going to be seen as really a viable force for change. And I think that that is the central mission of the station. It's really important also to understand that not everybody is comfortable shooting questions online to the host through, you know, various online media. Not only is that kind of a private affair between the person, you know, posing the question in that format or and the host, it excludes really the community, but it just misses a big opportunity, again, to give people the sense that they are part of a community. It's not enough to just say this is a community radio station and we're addressing your concerns. Okay. So I just think that those are the points. And one of the things that I'd like to see is that there be some sort of mandatory requirement that either a fifth to a quarter of every program be set aside for community comment, or that programmers be mandated to say set aside even 20 minutes a month, and that they let people know in advance what that's going to be for their show, the last Friday, the first Monday, the third show of the month, whatever, so that people can look forward to that in case something comes up that they would like to interrogate. Okay.
I'll come back.
Thank
to you.
And I'd like to go again if there's time. Thank you.
Just that I'll come back to you. Mr. Ramey, last chance to be heard as a community commenter for the next 3 years anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to address the board. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be here. WPFW's local station board has an obligation to its stakeholders and to the community to ensure its officers, its members, and its committees conduct business with uncompromising integrity. WPFW's local station board has a responsibility to guarantee staff members perform at levels of excellence and beyond reproach. WPFW's local station board has an obligation to ensure station programmers, producers, and employees are treated with dignity and respect in an environment free from hostility and harassment, and to take corrective action immediately if there's been a failure in this regard. WPFW has recently failed these standards at every possible level. Two members of this local station board, in violation of federal law, have been implicated in a serious breach of WPFW's personnel files. They've obtained personal and confidential information from the personnel file of a senior producer here at WPFW, then shared that confidential information with a third party. That third party then knowingly, willingly, and deliberately used that confidential information to derail and sabotage the career path of a senior producer here at the station and possibly other broadcast outlets in the region. That third party happens to be a program that third party continues to broadcast on our airwaves. WPFW's program director should have been notified immediately or could have possibly have been aware of the details of this infamous episode and has yet to take any responsible action. This is a major lapse in ethical standards, and this board has an obligation to demand answers from the program director or demand her resignation if she fails to conduct a proper investigation and hold staff under her supervision accountable. Any member of this panel who has transferred private or privileged information files has forfeited any right to serve on this board. Any program who has contacted prospective employers to sabotage the career of a WPF producer or other personnel has forfeited any right to broadcast on our airways. Any staffers at WPFW who are aware of these activities and fail to act accordingly have forfeited any right to remain on our payroll.
Time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I would ask that I have an opportunity to come back on the next go round, please.
Yes. Mr. Hakeem.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Real quick, the report, I keep harking on this. The report for the, 5K, when our friend comes off of vacation, and you check to see if, we got any, like Cash App, anybody donated, towards that other than funds and resources that we turned in, you know, if that's possible. The other thing I wanted to ask about, I don't know if they haven't gotten to this on the agenda, the relocation committee.
No, we didn't get there yet.
Didn't get there yet?
No.
Okay, so I can't comment on it?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Okay, so I have some real estate people who have been listening to support the station, been sending me information. I've been trying to get that. Relocation committee, and I've had problems them getting back to me in regard to that. I did email them some of that information, and I don't know if they received it or not. That was another question I had.
Where did you send it, Sabu?
I sent it to, the chair of the relocation committee.
Okay.
Those were the two things, because I found with the information that they sent me, places that we could obtain or literally buy that was in some in Northeast, some in Southeast, locations that were probably suitable for a nonprofit such as ourselves. I know when Casey, my friend Mark, they were down on K Street, a nonprofit, they moved down the street here on 12th Street. Got hold of a old filling station and got the building across and renovated it. And they sort of in the same category that we are. They're community oriented nonprofit, tree planting, organization. So it can be done, you know, so that's it about that for that. Thanks.
Thank you. Marty.
Good evening, everyone. I listened to the report by Stephanie, and my concern is whether the LSB will have enough time to review it before they make any decisions. That was a lot to digest. Also, the outreach committee is waiting on a report about how much was made during the 5K for online donations. We haven't gotten that report yet, and we're still waiting on it. So hopefully we'll get it soon. That's all.
Okay. Anyone else? Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. I'm just giving everybody a minute. Okay, Star.
Okay, I wanted to take up an issue, and this has been, I know, going on for several years, but I just happened over the weekend to hear some of the programming, and I was really, really concerned about the way Veterans Day was being handled by the station. The sentiments that were expressed had to do with thanking the veterans for their sacrifices, for protecting our freedoms. They really could have come from the mouth of any of the corporate leadership that dominates our political system. And we need to remember that this is a station that is supposed to be committed to anti-war work, you know, to social justice. And Martin Luther King Jr. himself, you know, talked about the Pentagon budget, the fact that it sucked up. I mean, this is, sucks up all of the resources so that you really can't strive for a better life. Smedley Butler, famous general in the 30s, you know, he talked about the corruption of the military. Dwight Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex. We know that when we talk about protecting U.S. citizens, I mean, from what? From terrorists? You know, one person's terrorist is hopefully our freedom fighter. This is a really, really serious question. And I think that what we can do is phrase things, be careful to phrase things with proper understanding so that we can say we honor the willingness of soldiers or those who sign up to make a sacrifice on behalf of their fellow citizens without formally really endorsing the fact that, quote unquote, they are protecting our freedoms. That's just a really problematical way of looking at things. And I think that we need to also remember the poverty draft. You know, if you read anything about what radicalized the Oklahoma City bombers, Timothy McVeigh, it was that they had no choice. In these rural areas where you've got a lot of support for Trump, their jobs are prison guard or police or military, and they go overseas. They see a lot of atrocities, which they don't always agree with, and they're blown apart. This is okay, but we can't just have this. It was just really, really terrible. It was not just one programmer, but it was programmer after programmer. And with all due respect to Miyuki, who I think has many abilities and works like unbelievable work ethic and is very committed. But, you know, the understanding politically was so off on this that it's actually frightening. And I don't know. It just seems like ABC to me. No matter whether you're a pacifist or a socialist or a communist or whatever, we are all against wars. And I think that we can just phrase it that part of WPFW's commitment to veterans and to soldiers is to end all wars that aren't pursued in defense of human and civil rights. And you don't have to go too much further than that. But just put the stress, it's a question of emphasis. You can acknowledge Veterans Day, but put a progressive spin on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Ramey, one more time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to take a moment here to acknowledge a colleague of ours, James B. Withers, Jr., better known as Bert. He was a dedicated programmer and producer here at WPFW. He transitioned from this life several weeks ago. He was literally an officer and a gentleman from 1966 to 68. He served in the armed forces as an army captain stationed in Wiesbaden, Germany, overseeing Hawk missile batteries. He earned an undergraduate degree in electrical engineering from Howard in 1963, where he was both a member of the ROTC and Kappa Alpha Psi. In 1973, he received a master's degree in electrical engineering from GW, and 5 years later, Bill was awarded a law degree from GW. He worked as legal counsel at the Federal Communications Commission for nearly 35 years. After retiring from the FCC, Bert, an avid jazz enthusiast, volunteered at WPFW and produced and hosted The Vigil. He also worked with retired military veterans, assisting them with various legal matters. Bert leaves behind a loving family, including his daughter Samara and his son Darius. He was born October 5, 1941 here in the district, a second-generation Washingtonian, attended D.C. public schools, a graduate of McKinley Tech in 1959. Well done, Bert. Thank you very much for your service and safe passage.
Thank you for that. Is there any other community comment? Don't be shy. Okay, I'm gonna give you one more minute while you're thinking about it. Ellen, just to bring you up to date, if you haven't got all of this, I know that obviously Mr. Byfield has joined, Sue Goodwin, Mike Hirsch, and Wanda have all joined the meeting. So we have the excused absences from Andrew Craig and Pat Morrison, missing in action are Verna Avery Brown, Donna Grimes, and Ambrose Eileen Jr.
Mr. Chair, would
you
permit me?
What about Robert Gordon?
Oh, yeah, Robert, that's right. Yep.
Mr.
Chair, have you heard from Robert?
I he did, I believe he, yes, yes, that's right, because he did say that he would not be available to give the mass report. So I did hear from him, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, would you permit me about 20 or 25 seconds additional here, please?
You have 20.
I just hope you would reinforce to the board member that community comments is reserved exclusively for members of the community. At our last meeting, one of us is making a career out of disrupting and interfering and even launching a personal attack against a parliamentarian. This should not continue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. I've given you all time to think about it. Nobody else wants to comment. We're going to go back to the meeting. Okay. Now, yes, I did see, we just had the budget, put forward, does not need a second. And, there was a hand pending for Mr. Byfield. So go ahead.
There was a question, Stephanie had, elucidated about the archives, and the sponsors for the archive. And what I wanted to comment on that, was, whether what our role was in terms of, monitoring how that is handled. I remember in the last meeting, I mentioned blockchain for accountability as something that from our side that we would want to interject since we have ownership of our archives.
Stephanie, are you still here?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah.
Meaning, how we're asking, I mean, how we're monitoring what they're digitizing?
Well, if I owned something and I was being given royalty for it, I needed to have some mechanism for monitoring and accountability that comes to me so I could look at it and say, okay, I agree with this. I see what's happening and I agree with it. I think blockchain, the platform of blockchain, is the platform in today's world that initiates that and gives a comfort level to stakeholders.
Stakeholders to the, and I'm sorry if I'm not understanding, stakeholders to the, I mean, our archives, we still own everything that's in our archives.
Okay. I know that.
Right. We are not, we're going to continue to own all the intellectual property, the licensing rights, the physical materials, everything after digitization. So we're not losing anything. Rather than having our own internal staff digitize our archives, which they were doing at approximately, I believe it was, anywhere between 500 to 1,000 tapes a year. And we have 80,000 tapes. So it would have been an 80-year process. We were approached by the American Archive of Public Broadcasting and the Library of Congress in wanting to support the digitization of our materials. We also received a grant from the WGBH Educational Foundation for Preserving Endangered Media. And they, and then also, another grant from the National Endowment of Humanities Division of Preservation and Access to help support this as well. So what they're doing is that we are now getting all of our materials digitized and preserved, forever rather than just sitting in boxes in five different storage units, getting progressively smashed and sitting in elements of weather where there's not, you know, where nothing is really being done with them. So this is also not only with our audio files, but also with all of our paper products as well. So those are being saved at the Historical Society of Wisconsin in a climate-controlled ephemera storage site. And everything is being scanned and then sent for safekeeping. And then that includes all of our folio program guides. And then we're having original copies also then being able to be sent back to us. So again, we are not losing the physical materials. We are not losing intellectual properties. We're maintaining the intellectual property. We are not losing any of our licensing rights. A copyright vetting process is being done on all of our materials as well. Just because things aired on our stations don't necessarily mean that we own them. And some of those items have been used in the past for premiums and when they shouldn't have been, or thank you gifts, because we haven't had, the copyright for those, but we haven't had the funds to be able to do an adequate copyright search as well. So I'm not too sure if I'm answering your question, but once everything is digitized and uploaded, not only on the website that we already have for our digitization, but it'll also be backed up at the Library of Congress and also backed up at, I believe it's archive.org or publicbroadcastingarchive.org. I don't know the website off the top of my hand. All of that will be back to us in case there's anyone that needs to get something or use something for licensing or digitization.
That answer your question, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know if that answered it.
Yeah, thanks. That was very good. I don't want to prolong this. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write something up and send it, and it may help on our part. It's technical, but, we'll see whether or not, it's something that can add to our, possessive, accountability utilizing technology. Let me just put it that way. Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Sue.
Hi there. Thank you. I want to quickly just mention, I hope most of you know that the news department recently launched a weekly newsletter. It's called, in case you missed it. And what it is we list what's happened, brief descriptions of what was addressed in the public affairs and news programs of the week with links to what they listen, what actually happened. The goal of this is to address the significant move to online listening that I think is essential and that we move into that space. So what I'm asking, and this may be too late in the meeting and we can do this next time. Are you aware of this? And I want the feedback of the LSB on this. How can we do it better, et cetera. So that's basically my point.
Thank you, Sue, and I apologize. I was supposed to connect with you about featuring that in a meeting, but we can do that next month. Been seeing it. It looks very good. And just to be clear, at this point, we should be discussing the budget. So, Tony, you have a budget comment.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As much as I would like to get this budget passed, tonight, I don't think that it would be appropriate to vote on this, because the information was just sent out, like Irene said. And I think, the board, should clearly understand, what is in the budget before they take a vote.
Is that, what I'm asking is, in order to delay, we would need a motion and preferably a motion with some idea of when we might do this if we don't do it now.
I could make a recommendation to Kamau if he would be willing to accept a motion
He doesn't have to accept it. You can just
Well, it's yeah, right. I would ask that the motion be amended to, like he said, have another meeting in a week, in 1 week, a special meeting just to vote on the budget.
Is there a second to that?
I second.
Okay. any discussion? We should move this along. Any objection to having the vote a week from now? Ron?
This was, it's not an objection, but I do want people to remember what Stephanie said about this budget, that it is a moving target, mm-hmm. that it's, you know, that it's built for change. So just keep that in mind as we prepare, to vote on this, that, this is a living document. And changes will be made, as needed. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Let me ask a procedural question. Ellen or somebody, would know the answer to this. Is a week time enough to, because this should also be public. Is it a week time enough to have the meeting, get it posted and be legal?
If it's an emergency, you'd have to say it's an emergency.
But still, we would still want it to be public. Is that acceptable?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, Art Highland.
Yeah, it seems to me this budget's pretty straightforward. Honestly, it's the first time I've seen one in my 3 years on this board. And I'm really, really pleased. I think it does a really good job. I want to commend Kamal and Stephanie for doing a great job on it. And if it's okay with the rest of us, I wouldn't mind seeing us vote on it now.
So that is an objection to the second motion?
Correct.
All right. So then we will call the roll on whether or not. So a yes is to will be to delay the vote for 1 week. A no will be to have the vote tonight. Before we call the roll, Irene, one last comment.
Yeah, I'm not saying the presentation isn't wonderful. I'm not saying that, but this is other people's money we're talking okay. about. And so my thing is we just need to take a step back. Would we make this quick decision if it was your money in your pocket? I'm not sure we would. And I get the acceptance of it and the presentation and all of that, but we really need to take a step back and look at this. We really do.
Okay. Ellen, would you call the roll, please? Again, a yes vote is for next week. A no vote is to vote on the budget tonight.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm not clear, Dennis. Say that one more time.
A yes vote now will be to postpone the vote until next week.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I was trying to raise my hand here real quick.
Yeah.
Is it possible that we could get some comments from Kamal about this delay or you know, does it matter? I would like to hear his opinion on this since he helped craft this budget with Stephanie.
Well, I think, I'm going to put words in your mouth, Kamal, but I think you already said that the sooner is better. If we didn't,
right.
we couldn't wait until the next meeting that we would have to call a special meeting. So that's what we would be doing. Is that fair, Kamal?
No.
I'm talking to Kamal. Is that an accurate representation?
I definitely, right now, because of the way the National Finance Committee structured, we actually voted last night at that committee to have an interim meeting to look at both this budget and BAI. So there's a couple of things
in motion here. So if we push this tonight, not to put any pressure on anybody, but just kind of laying the lay of the land for everybody, it's if we push this tonight, that special meeting that we had set up next week at the NFC would get pushed. And then, you know, it's just a domino effect, and it can be handled. It's just they were expecting that committee, National Finance Committee, was expecting to review it next Tuesday is really what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we clear? Yep. Ellen, please call the roll again.
Wait a minute, Dennis. I'm not clear. Point of order.
Yes.
If we had a meeting before Wednesday,
we can't do it. We can't have a public meeting in less than a week.
Okay.
Is that accurate, Ellen?
No, it is. Yes. A public meeting has to be posted 7 days. I get that, but
and we don't want to. And this is a major thing. Do not want to approve. The budget does not need to be approved in executive session. This should be a public thing.
Okay.
So we need a week. So we're calling the roll. A yes vote means we postpone until next week. A no vote means that we will vote tonight. And it's getting late early, so let's get it going.
Okay, I'll start calling.
Yes, please.
Now?
Yes.
All right. Irene.
A yes vote means we can postpone. A no means, we need to postpone.
So you're yes. All right. Vanessa?
Yes.
Verna is not here. Wayne?
No.
Michael Byfield? Where is he? Michael Byfield? Has he left?
No, he's still there. Come back to him. He's away from his computer.
Bill Curtis? Did he leave or he's away from his computer? I'll go on. Violetta?
No.
Wanda?
No.
Sue?
Yes.
Robert is not here. Donna's not here. Kamau?
No.
Kamau?
My answer is no.
Okay, or just, Arthur?
No.
Arthur?
No.
Okay. Ambrose and Andrews Tony.
Ambrose is there.
Ambrose did come in.
Oh, he's here now?
Yeah.
Oh, he came in? Okay. Yeah. Ambrose?
No.
Okay, let me change. He's here. Tony?
Pass.
Yes?
P-A-S-S, pass.
Oh, you pass. Okay. Mariah.
No.
Ron Pinchback.
No.
Minerva.
Pass. Pass.
Okay. Adele?
No.
And Michael Hurst, he's not here.
He is here.
Right?
He did come in.
He's here now? Oh, okay. Michael Hurst?
Yeah, I thought no.
No? Okay. So I'll do everybody, then I'll come back to the passes, and I'll come back to Dennis. Ellen? Yes.
Ellen, I'd like to change my vote to no, please.
Okay.
Ellen, I would like to change. This is Sue. I would like to change my vote to no.
Okay. Sue wants to go to no. Anybody else that wants to make a change or anything? Okay, is that it? So I'll do the yeses first. One yes.
Didn't we have two passes?
No, we do the yeses and the noes, and then we go back and do the passes.
We had two passes.
There are two passes, right. So we do the noes and the yes, then I go back and do the passes, then I do Dennis.
Okay.
Problem?
Nope, go ahead.
Oh, okay, thank you. So one yes, yes.
No, it was two yeses at least, but okay.
Irene was a yes. People changed. There were two people. Sue changed. And
Vanessa
changed. Right. So it's one yes so far. Everybody else was no. The two passes were Tony, were you a yes or no? Or are you abstaining now?
Yes.
You're what?
Yes, I vote yes.
Okay, so Tony's a yes. And then the other pass was Minerva. Are you yes or no, Minerva?
I'll put me down as a yes.
Okay. All right, so now we have three yeses. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 no's. And Dennis, what do you say?
Were there a couple of people who were away?
Oh, like, wait a minute, Adele. Yeah, Adele.
Adele voted, didn't she?
Yeah, she said no. That's right. She said no. So
did Ambrose and did Ambrose and Byfield vote?
Ambrose said no.
Okay.
And Byfield. Okay, that is another one. I don't know. No.
And Bill Curtis did not vote. And I'm very confused about this.
Okay, hold on for a minute. So, Michael Byfield, yes or no? Is he here? That was a problem before. He wasn't here.
Yeah, he was not responding.
Yeah, is he here now? I don't see him.
He's not responding. I don't see him.
Okay. So, Bill Curtis, is he here?
Yes, he is.
Bill Curtis, yes or no? You're still not answering. Okay, so what should we do?
Okay,
what?
Michael Byfield, last call.
Okay, no response. How about Bill? Bill Curtis? Bill Curtis? No response.
No. Okay.
Folk must have fallen asleep due to these long presentations that we ain't timing.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, all right. Let's stay on task.
So it's 12 no's and 3 yeses.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And I will not vote the, so that motion is defeated. So now we will vote on the budget tonight.
Terrible.
So,
Do we need to take a vote again?
Yep.
Okay. All right, Irene, yes or no?
I'm going to pass.
Pass, okay. Vanessa?
You're Vanessa? Calling me so much sooner. I'm not ready. Yes.
Okay.
By the way, everybody, yes is approving the budget and no is not approving the budget.
Right. And I'm doing it in alphabetical order. I can't help it, Vanessa. Verna's not here.
Well, I'm Wayne Dixon Briggs, so not Briggs, but that's okay.
Okay, but still, well, I'll tell you later. Verna?
Not here.
Still hasn't come. Wayne?
Yes. That's a full pass.
Bill Curtis?
I'm sorry.
What? This is yes means to pass the buzzer, yes. Correct?
Yes,
Dennis?
Correct.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
All right, because someone correct. Was asking.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Bill Curtis, has he come yet? No?
He's
nobody saw. Okay.
His name is still there, but I don't hear him.
Okay, I haven't heard anything. Violetta?
Yes.
Wanda?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Sue?
That's a yes.
Okay, I heard it. Thank you. Is it Kamau?
Yes.
Kamau? Arthur Hyland?
Art votes yes to pass the budget.
Okay. And Michael Hirsch?
Yes.
Okay. And Ambrose?
Yes.
Tony Leon?
Yes.
Tony Leon?
Yes, Ellen.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Mariah?
Yes.
Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Okay. Minerva?
Yes.
Adele?
Yes.
Okay, and that's everybody. And then I'll come back to Dennis. So.
No, you come back to me because I passed.
Yeah, I know.
And I vote yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. So then everyone is yes. What do you say, Dennis?
I will say yes as well.
Okay, so it's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank everyone who worked on the budget. Thank everyone for your patience. I know this was it was a lot of information quickly, but I'm glad we got this done. This is one of the two or three things that we actually have to do at some point. So we got it done. So that's a good thing. Thank you again to the Finance Committee. Yes.
Just want to say thank you to our executive director.
Yes.
And for showing up tonight and making that presentation. Really appreciate that, Stephanie.
Again.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. May I leave?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.